You got a lot of sausages, certain things that just come to their head and...
And it chips it away again!
Toby Flood!
God's sake! He pulled my scrub cap off and he squirted water in my face and you're not allowed to do that!
Shut it off! Shut the confidence up!
What a yoga!
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Waist High Rugby Podcast, the pod that people have asked for and we are going to continue to do. Today, I'm honoured to be joined by Jack and Jones, but not Jonesy. We have Owen Jones, the national team head coach for Sevens. Great to have you with us. Jack, quickly start with you. How are you doing?
I'm right, mate. I'm doing better than Jonesy, apparently.
Adam Jones, you will be listening because you're a fanboy, but you are apparently with your head down the toilet or something, or is sat in the toilet?
Other way, mate, yeah.
But no, we are joined by his lovely namesake, Mr. Jones. How are you, sir?
Very well, mate. I like to think of myself as the improved Jones, if I'm honest. The better Jones. And I can say that because he's not near me and he's big. I can say it from a distance, it's fine.
Wait, actually, coached Adam before?
Do you know what? I've actually coached him. We had a camp up in Stavanger about a year ago, and I'm a bit scared of him because I was rotating Stavanger boys through the team, and I gave him about 30 seconds of rep, and I think he dropped a ball, and I took him out immediately, and he sort of came past me afterwards. I was like, "Cool, I wasn't that bad, was I?" I was like, "Oh shit, I made a massive mistake here." He wasn't that bad, Adam. If you are listening, you weren't that bad. I just need to rotate some boys. So yeah, I'm a bit scared of Jonesy, if I'm honest. He's a big boy.
Shouldn't be. He's a sweetheart and he's pussy.
You can say that because he's not on the pod.
No, mate, I'll slag him off every pod. I'm just waiting. We play in the same position and we've got a pack that he's not going to run at me. So I can say whatever I want and he won't run at me. So that's all good.
Let's see. No, Owen, it's awesome to have you on. I know. I wasn't ignoring all those thousands of messages you were sending me asking to come on.
You sound best for me.
No, it's really good to see you. Maybe like just to get started, maybe do you want to give us a bit of an introduction to yourself, right? Because I think you're someone that a lot of people have heard of, but maybe don't necessarily know a lot about. So yeah, maybe give us a brief intro to who you are, what you're doing with the Sevens.
Cool. So I guess it's worth saying, it's the same way that every coach is. I used to play quite a lot. So grew up in the north of England, in the grim north up in Leeds, playing rugby up there. Went down to university in Oxford and was fortunate enough to play in the varsity match a couple of times. So Twickenham in front of quite a few thousand people, which is great. Then moved down to Brighton for work, and I say, yeah, the inevitable happened. Yeah, I blew up my knee, so I've got, I think it's no PCL at all, partial ACL, partial MCL at this point in my left knee. So I'm basically ruined, and found myself in a bit of a mental hole. You know, I played rugby all my life up to that point, and all of a sudden this thing that has been a huge part of my life was taken away. And a mate at the time was coaching, this is what, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, a mate at the time was coaching a local women's team, Lewis Ladies, and said, "Look, mate, you look miserable as fuck, come along and help out." And I did, and the best decision that I've ever made. You know, it's led me to get to travel all around the world, get to see some really cool places, and ultimately to be working with such an incredible group of lads in the Norway Sevens team. It's very exciting. Very random.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is extremely random. How exactly did you find the connection with Norway Sevens? How did that come about?
Small world is coaching, and everybody knows everybody, which is either a really good thing if you're popular or a really bad thing if you're unpopular. And there was a bloke called Chris Roberts who was he was kind of like an unofficial mentor whilst I was at Lewis. And I think he was involved in the men's 15s in some capacity. I don't actually really know what he was doing. But anyway, I think the opening actually came up for the women's sevens coach. And he said, look, mate, you know, I know with your experience and your playing background, et cetera, I think you'd be a good fit. Go and have a chat to Per. And I ended up having a chat to Per. He turned around and said, well, actually, we're going to give it to this local Fijian bloke who I now obviously know is Bill. But the men's sevens are looking for an assistant coach at the moment. Do you want to join? And this was 4 years ago. So 2019, no, beginning of 2020 it was, just before the world ended. I was fortunate enough that I had a chat with Luigi Zangrilli, who's been the head coach before me for, I think, 6 years, a long time, like long-standing servant. And he turned around and said, yeah, come and have a run out. Come and see how you get on. And I went to a camp in Trondheim in March 2020. And then, as I say, the world ended. But yeah, very random, I know. Very random world.
I was, as a northern lad who grew up playing rugby in the north of England, how was the weather in Trondheim in March compared to what you were used to up in Yorkshire?
Better.
So Uncle Norbert over here turned up with a hoodie, trainers and shorts. And rocked up and found there was about 5 foot of ice piled up on the side of the pitch. I always remember that camp because I'm sitting there shivering, literally freezing my tits off. And Espen, the men's sevens captain, he sees this poor British bloke just struggling on the sidelines and comes and gives me his waterproof. He had no reason to. He didn't know where I was. But yeah, sign of the bloke he is. But yeah, I'll always remember it because that was, I genuinely think, the only thing that kept me alive that day. It was horrendous.
Yeah, my first experience of playing rugby in Norway was also in Trondheim, and I made a very similar mistake to you. Like, it was like the morning of the game, and I forgot to buy leggings. I didn't have anything like that with me, and yeah, it was like loads of ice. It was hail, followed by rain, followed by snow, followed by sun, and I literally had to go to the nearest shop, like, as soon as it opened, buy leggings and all this kind of shit, then run back to the pitch. It was, it's quite an experience playing up there.
It blew my mind, actually, because I've been used to cold conditions, as you say, up in the north. You get snow occasionally. Like, I remember we used to play on Otley's pitch, which is on the top of the, like, sort of in the, you know it.
Pitch. I know Otley pitch. It is horrendous.
Describe it to people who don't know what it is.
Go on, Owen, you go first. All I remember, it was an absolute mud bath, and it was on top of a hill.
A swamp was how I was going to refer to it. It's like immediately up from the river, and this river always floods, and there's a floodplain right next to the pitch. So no matter what you do, no matter what the groundsmen do, it's always 6 inches of water. Like, you know, standing water checks now, you would never play on that pitch that we used to play on. I'm surprised we didn't drown. It's genuinely bad.
Yeah, I played there twice. I used to play for Cole Lyonians, and Otley were quite big rivals of ours at under-19s level. And I remember going up there. It was absolutely hideous. And then there was pitch in Leeds. Is it West Park?
Yeah, the one that Leeds Rhinos use as one of their training grounds now, I think.
I think that one, I remember playing on that, and that was also a bit of a dodgy pitch. And I think one of our players like broke his neck or something on that. It's pretty brutal.
Sounds like Northern rugby.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna have to move this away from YouTube with this thing.
About the shitty pitches in the Northern England.
About pitches in the North England that bring it back to Norwegian salmons.
I actually just want to bring it back quickly to Espen, one of the guys you mentioned there, Owen. I think one of the stalwarts of Norwegian sevens over the past few years, and a very loyal and good Linden player as well. What do you make of him and his captaincy over the years and so on?
Mate, I there aren't enough superlatives to describe the character of that bloke. And I say this as someone who's had a lot of captains to interact with in a coaching capacity, in a playing capacity. He is the definition of talks the talk and walks the walk. Yeah, he's always the lad that's out doing fitness. He's always the lad that's pushing the standards. And I think if you look at Espen as a player, for me, he's a prime. He is Norway Sevens. He is like, if you were going to sum up Norway Sevens in a player, it is him. Because even in the 4 years that I've worked with the bloke, he's changed his game. He's developed. He's become a genuinely elite Sevens player, like elite by any standard of the word. And, you know, when I met him, he's a very good rugby player. But the development that he's made over the last 4 years since I've known him, just outstanding. And that's all his hard work. That's nothing to do with me or, you know, the lads around him. Might be to do with his Blinden coaches, of course. But yeah, he's just a quality bloke.
It's to do with the fact that he's a complete nutcase in love running. He loves running, whatever weather it is, however far it is, he just loves running. And going running with Espen is torture. Like, it's one of the worst things you could ever do.
You say going running with, running behind him from a distance.
No. And just fly away. And then he turns around and he's like, yeah, that was great, wasn't it? And you're like, absolutely shagged, like, just trying to stay for a bit. And he's like, do you want to go for a beer? He's like, no, I'm going home. He does. Espen actually did the thing where we have Spond, the Blinden Rugby Club has Spond, and you get like the signing up for trainings and stuff. For people who don't know what that is, it's just an app that organizes sports clubs, basically. And we get these automatic notifications of like, are you good if you can reply to the training session we're going to have? But Espen set it to like a Saturday afternoon. So what used to happen with Espen is we'd play a game and we'd all be in the pub afterwards. And people would be like, not steaming, but on their way. Espen usually turned up for a bit and then go home because he was a new dad and stuff. So Espen used to then, are you sure they could get a notification from Espen going, can you guys train on good if you can reply to the training request I've set for the weekend when everyone's absolutely like steaming in the pub? And I think that just sums Espen up. He's just completely dedicated and he loves his fitness. Loved his fitness.
He is obsessed with his fitness. It's so annoying.
But yeah, it's one of those that pays dividends as well, right? You see him doing the hard stuff and doing the bits that nobody wants to be doing on that Saturday afternoon when everyone's down the pub. And then you see him go out to Belgrade in 44 degree heat, and he's the only guy that's still able to run at 100% after playing every minute of every game throughout the entirety of it. Special, really special.
And he's in his mid-30s as well. That's like, he's not 26 or 25.
Yeah,
like
but he looks 26 or 25.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, it
really annoys me as well. Like, yeah.
No, he's a class bloke. He is a class bloke. And
he is.
I'm sure he gave you his coat just so he knows what he's doing, Espen. I'm sure he gave you his coat because he knew who you were going to become and he just wanted to keep you sweet and keep him captive. He's a clever lad.
It worked.
Brilliant. I think I don't really know where to kind of to go with the Sevens. I suppose, over the past kind of few years, can you explain what tournaments you're playing in? I know obviously there's a European trophy, or is it the Challenge Trophy? I can't remember what it's called. I know there's that, and what else is the team doing at the moment?
Yeah, of course. Just one more thing. Like, what's the aim? What are your goals?
It's good
to understand, because you've had like obviously Richie on, we've had Liam on from the Rugby League stuff, and they've got these like goals that they've told us what they are and we've shared them. What are your goals in terms of the Sevens?
Yeah, it makes complete sense. So I think I'll start with the first bit around what we compete in and what our focuses are. So we're really simple. We have one focus every year in terms of competitions. It's the European Championships. This year, again, in Belgrade. I won't say anything about the location, but I'm desperate to go somewhere else. Let's put it like that. It's a winner takes all sort of thing. So there's multiple tiers of sevens in Europe. You've got Conference 2, Conference 1. We're currently sat in Conference. Above us, Conference 1. Above us is Trophy. You then got Championship or Grand Prix as it's known, and then you've got the World Series. So where we are now and where we have been for, I think, the majority of the time that even GGU's been around, apart from maybe 1 year, is this Conference One level. So we've got teams like Moldova who have just come through, Serbia. And the truth is that I genuinely believe as a group of lads we've got, we deserve to be at a higher level. So the target from an outcomes perspective, which I realize is a bit of a slippery slope, you can't control it, but the target from an outcomes perspective is we want to get promoted this season. And I think with the dedication we've got, you know, you talk about lads like Espen, I could talk about 15 to 20 other lads in the team who are miniature versions of Espen, or bigger versions of Espen in some cases. And I think we've got the ability, we've got the dedication to really prove ourselves at that level. It just requires us to be able to pull out the right team, pull out the best team, make sure we've got the training camps nailed down for the next 3 or 4 months, and go out there and show the performance and the behaviours that I know the lads are capable of. So it's a bit of a difficult one for us because, as I say, it is this massive event where, you know, it's your one ranking event of the year. And that changes, right? If you go up to the trophy level, when we go up to the trophy level, you have two tournaments and then it's, you know, the ranking across both of them. So if you have a really off day, it's not the be all and end all.
And how many teams are in that tournament in Belgrade?
I think we're just waiting for confirmation this year. I think it will be 12 this year. I think
right, okay. 12. So decent chunk of European teams then in there.
Yeah, really substantial. And again, yeah, the problem with it is that you rock up 1 year and a team is, you know, below average because they're missing a few of their elite players, and then you rock up the next year and that exact same team is absolutely world class and obviously gets promoted. And I think this is one of the things, you know, we talk about aims. A big aim for me is how we make that culture grow, how we make the culture of not being reliant on two or three players who, you know, injury happens, old age happens, children happen, and then all of a sudden you don't have a team. And I think, you know, we're super blessed with that. We've gone from, even in our little training group, we use Messenger because apparently every bit of rugby in Norway is coordinated on Spond or Messenger. But yeah, we use Messenger and we've got 60 plus lads in the group who are active versus, you know, 2 years ago it was 25, 30. So I think we're going in the right direction. Just got to go and perform and enjoy ourselves at Belgrade now.
What? Why is it always Belgrade? That's been going on for like years now. Like it must be pushing 10 years. It's every year in Belgrade.
I think there's some deal that's been struck somewhere that has got a multi-year period in it. We did actually get a message from Rugby Europe the other day asking about, would you be interested in hosting next year? So I'm hoping that means that there is a change of scenery incoming. But for us, as I say, there'll be a change of scenery anyway when we go up to trophy. I think it's Hungary and Czech Republic.
Hungary, that's where it's going to be located?
I think so, from memory. I think it was Hungary and, yeah, somewhere, or it might have been Croatia. Yeah, it was Hungary and Croatia last year. So
yeah, I think the Czechs are kind of a couple of leagues above that now.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. But no, it's interesting. Like I remember about, it must be 2016 or 2017 or something, when the Irish Sevens team just kind of, when they got the funding and they came on the scene, they played in this series, right? And they did the tournament in Belgrade and they actually came over to Prague when I was living over there. And I remember speaking to some of them and they had some questionable things to say about Belgrade as a pitch and as a tournament. So I know you probably don't want to go too much into it, but they told me some stuff about that pitch.
All I'll say, and yeah, they're fantastic hosts. They looked after us very well. But what I will say is that at the end of the pitch, there's this sort of Soviet style. I can only describe it as a bunker. Like that's the only word that I can use to describe it. And for the past 2 years we've been out there, I just haven't dared to go into it because I just don't know what I'm going to find. if we get promoted this year, I'll go in and make sure I report back on the pod in 6 months' time if I'm still here.
There's going to be some kind of strange bar, isn't it?
There's going to be something in there that I'm not sure I want to see. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, imagine if it was like some like absolutely amazing nightclub. Like,
I'll report back. Yeah. I doubt it. But, you know, I'm always an optimist, right?
I mean, having said that, I mean, Simmons is known, talking about nice art stuff, Simmons is known for having as much fun, let's say, off the pitch as people have on the pitch. And, you know, we do the Copenhagen Sevens, and then you hear about the Hong Kong Sevens and stuff. Do you guys do socializing? Do you guys have that kind of culture in the team of, because Belgrade must be a decent night out as well after you've done all that hard work. How does that work with you and with all these different countries? Like, you say 12 countries come together at one place, doesn't happen too much for a World weekend.
It's a really weird environment, because you have some teams that turn up and are clearly more focused on the social team building aspect. I won't name any teams, but you have some teams who Moldova turned up, and yeah, everyone in matching tracksuits, everyone ready to go for us. Like, their sevens team when we played them,
Oh right, they were legit, right?
Yeah, they were on the other side of things. Yeah,
I feel like it seemed like Moldova would be like Globo Gym from Dodgeball, like all turning up in like the perfect matching outfits, like proper big and like steroided up and stuff like that.
They've just announced that Moldova have won the, I think, is it beach rugby? I think it's the beach rugby competition either this year or next year. Anyway, they did this big promo video, and they had this massive guy when we were playing against them, like genuinely like 6'4", terrible bowl cut, the worst bowl cut you've ever seen, but just a class rugby player, an incredible rugby player. He scored try after try. Anyway, I just remember seeing him on this beach rugby advert and thinking, yep, not that keen to put the boys into that one, I'm afraid.
Moldova and beaches, they don't really sound like they go together that well, do they?
Maybe it's an artificial beach. It's like one of these snow rugby tournaments that they've imported the snow, you know?
So no, if you're Moldova, sorry, don't come after me, but it doesn't sound like the place you'd go on a summer holiday.
I think they're technically landlocked, so...
All right, so that makes lots of sense. Yeah, smart.
yeah. Owen, I wanted to ask, obviously you're based in the UK, like you're living and working over there. How do you find the dynamic of coaching an international sevens team from a distance? Or like, you know, how does that work with training camps or just with kind of communication and contact with the players on a regular basis?
Yeah, it's a challenge, right? Because you're, you know, on the one hand, you're not based local, right? If I was based in Oslo, for example, I'd have 30% of my team within talking distance. But then also, you know, with that, it means that there's no allegiances. Obviously, I've got clubs that are favourites because they look after us very well, but there's no allegiances, right? And it means that I think the players see us, and I think they saw Gigi before me as well, as there's a separation there. You know, you're not part of Blinden and the national team coach. I'm picking on Blinden. You know, there's a bit of separation. But it is tough. And I think one of the things that I'm desperate to make sure of is that we are the Norwegian sevens team, right? We're not, you know, because we've got an English coach or an Italian coach, we're not the Norwegian, oh yeah, we're going to speak English the entirety of the time coach. So, you know, in fact, got it in front of me. We've got this season, we've made sure that all of the boys are using common Norwegian terms on the pitch. Like, we're trying to make sure that our rugby passport is genuinely Norwegian. And I think that's one of the things that I'm finding most interesting at the moment is, you know, how do we get out of some of those habits? English is the common universal language and has been for a long time. How do we get the most out of having a language that's unique to us and making sure that we're, you know, we are actually Norwegian in everything that we do? But yeah, it is a challenge. And yeah, it's one that I joked earlier about Messenger, but Messenger is actually a bit of a godsend for me. I do most of my player feedback on Messenger. I talk to most of my players probably more often than they'd want me to via Messenger. But yeah, it's just about making sure that, you know, I know the boys in the way that I want them to know me. And my whole thing is rugby's family, and I try and look after the lads in the way that, you know, I expect them to look after each other. Don't always succeed, but certainly try. And I think, again, you know, talking about the boys, we're super blessed with that. We've got a group of lads who genuinely look after each other. It feels like a very close-knit family that we're operating out of.
Have you been to Norway before you took the gig? Did you know anything about the country?
First time I came to Norway was that camp in Trondheim.
Right, okay.
That trip, I tell you about the weather anyway, but as I rocked up, I slipped on the ice because, again, in trainers, right? Yeah. Slipped on the ice, landed on my phone, broke my phone. It's about 2 a.m. or something. So I'm just wandering through the streets of Trondheim, trying to find an Airbnb that I'm staying in, like no means of communication, thinking, what have I done? Why am I here? Anyway, it was one of the best camps that I've ever been to in any capacity in the end. So it worked out all right.
And what are your impressions? I mean, you can be politically correct, but what are your impressions of the country? I assume you've been here on and off then for 4 years, haven't you? A couple of camps a year. How have you reacted? Where have you been? Which places have you been to? And what do you think?
Been now quite a long way around. So Trondheim, Stavanger, obviously Oslo a few times. I was in Sogndal for the touch that Matthew Shaw and Mike Pride organised. So I feel like I've seen quite a few parts of it. And I was talking to my missus about this the other day. It's one of the few places that I've ever been to in a work capacity, sevens, that I genuinely would say is somewhere I could live other than the UK. There's lots of things that Norway does brilliantly well. There's lots of things that Norway does really badly, but I mean, that's the same for everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you want the team's identity to look like?
So I think I touched on it a second ago, the whole rugby family thing. Yeah, I won't dive into too many of the technical ways we play, other than we look after each other on and off the pitch. And the broad technical way we play is expansive. We find an edge and we challenge an edge. So obviously we've got lots of different calls and shapes that we run to find that. But we're blessed with a huge array of people with great footwork, so especially some of the younger lads that are coming through. We had Magnus Moody from Blinden out with us the other day, or Saginaw even, and he's 19 and got fantastic feet. And it seems to be something that we're blessed with with Norwegian sevens players in particular. So trying to exploit that space on the outside, really making sure that we can challenge the 2v2 on the outside. But again, ultimately, we spend a lot of time with each other. I spend probably more time talking to the Norway boys than I do my missus. And I hope she doesn't listen to this. And it means for me, I want to be in an environment that we enjoy being in. And I think that's, we had our camp out in Rome 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and just a class group of lads. And that's what we want. It's a great group of humans who are bought in and prepared to fight for it. And they are this year. They really are.
And could I just ask quickly about the relationship between you and, I see it, Richie, or like the sevens in Norway and the 15s in Norway? Because obviously 15s season happens in October, and before then there's a few sevens tournament. Can I assume you've got quite a few lads who play for both sets of teams?
Yeah, I mean, the main challenge, just to start with, is that there's a lot of rugby to be played in not that many months. So, I've got this whole thing that I never want it to be a choice for players of I can either play sevens or 15s or league. But the season being as short as it is in Norway because of the weather kind of translates to that, right? It kind of translates to, well, maybe I can pick two, but picking all three is a challenge, unless you're someone like Stevie who's prepared to travel all around. So fortunately, we've got Richie, as you say, and Richie's a top bloke. In fact, literally just before this call, I was talking to him on the phone about the weekend coming, and he's coming over to Brighton the weekend after to train at my home club. So we've got a really good relationship, which is great because it means we can talk about players, right? And we can help each other scout players. And also, if there's a player that can come to a sevens camp but can't come to a 15s camp, then one of us has got eyes on them and can feed back and can give some pointers and some feedback to the individual and to the other coach. I think on that note, one of the things that I'm desperate to try and build out a little bit more is the relationship between sevens and league. There's a lot of parallels there. And we've got a couple of lads. Actually, we're really lucky to have Martin from the rugby league team come over to the Rome camp. And for a lad that had never rucked before, obviously a class rugby player, but rugby league player. He adapted to proper rugby. He adapted to sevens with, you know, live rucks and things over the course of a weekend, and looked class by the end of it. So I think there's some huge parallels to be drawn there, and that's something that I think we haven't tapped well enough as a union.
I completely agree in that. There's a lot of people playing league now, especially on the West Coast, and there's a lot of kids playing league on the West Coast. I know the kids are going this week to the Czech Republic. So the under-19s and the under-16s rugby league team are going over to the Czech Republic. They left today, I think, actually, on a coach, 18-hour coach with 50 under-19 and under-16 kids. Sounds like an absolute hellhole. But they're going over to the Czech Republic now, and I think it's going to be a great event for them. But in terms of, if there was anyone listening who's maybe younger or playing league or doing something else, and they might be interested in sevens, what are you looking for, and what is the kind of what's the journey to get there, and maybe pull on a Norway jersey?
I think it's a really good question, because it's very tempting to say, yeah, if you look at a lot of sevens athletes, you look at them and you look at their body shape and you say, oh, you're obviously a sevens athlete, right? But the level that we play at isn't, yeah, you know, we're not New Zealand, we're not Australia, and it means that actually there is genuinely a place for every body shape, every type of athlete in the program that we run. And I'll pick an example. So Michael Whitcomb, he's a Trondheim player, South African by heritage, and you know, Michael is a big lad, like, and I mean tall, strong, like the classic number eight build. Like, and I know he used to play at a really high level, number eight. And he's been out in Belgrade with us for the past 2 years as one of our 12-man squad. So the message is that there's no typecasting. There's a spot for everybody. But equally, what there is no substitute for is core skills. Can you pass a ball off both hands? And you know, my whole thing is, and again, you look at Martin coming out to Rome with us a couple of weekends ago. The lad's core skills are excellent, and then it's just a case of making him a sevens player. And yeah, if you come to us and you've been grafting hard and you've got your core skills up to a good level, pass off both hands, step off both feet, you can kick, all of a sudden we can turn you into a sevens player. That's the easy bit, right? The hard bit is if, you know, you come and you've never passed a ball before, because then we have to spend the time trying to teach you how to pass a ball. So the message is to say that we want to try and develop that sevens culture. We want more people playing it. We want more people with a ball in their hands. But yeah, ultimately, get that ball in your hands. Pass it to your mate. Like, spend your time in between school sessions, whatever, passing a ball to your mate. And there's no substitute for it. For time with a ball in hand, there's no substitute.
I'll also say, for any of the guys going out to the Czech Republic to play in the league, if you ever need some insults in Czech, then hit me up. I can tell you some stuff to psych out the opposition on the pitch on the weekend.
I was telling you,
in the under-19s, I can give you some good bar recommendations.
Yeah, I was going to say, the drinking age in the Czech Republic is about 12, isn't it? So, I think they're going to have a...
They're actually going to a student city, though. They're not going to Prague.
They're not.
But that's probably even more dangerous, because it's going to be even cheaper and even worse. So
yeah, I mean, I know they're not allowed. They're not allowed officially to do those kinds of things. But I've never known a group of 40 teenagers go to the Eastern Europe and not get up the stuff. So
exactly. Now, I just wanted to ask, like, you've kind of spoken about it a little bit here, but in terms of getting our national team to like that next level, right, without going into the technicalities, what are the things that you think need to be worked on the most in order to kind of get to that next stage?
I think the big one for me is time together. You know, we've got 6 training camps in total this year, which is more than we've ever had before. And we've already got our first one under our belt. We've got our next one this weekend. So say 7 boys are coming to Brighton this weekend, and then the 15th is coming to Brighton the weekend after. But time together is the absolute killer. Knowing the shapes is one thing, and I can send out the playbooks to players as much as I want. But until they are sevens tired, and we talk about sevens tired a lot, because Yeah, everyone's been tired from rugby before, but sevens tired is a dark, dark place. You know, you are hurting, and the temptation is to, if you're not completely aware of what those structures are, the temptation is to lean away from them when you're tired. Whereas actually, when you're in that dark place, leaning into the structures more and more is everything. So, you know, the time that we have together, we train at a higher intensity than we will be playing. So that hopefully when we get to playing, everything's easier. That's the hope. But yeah, time together, getting to know each other, getting to know the different personalities, and getting to see who's really going to buy in. You know, our whole thing this season is work like a dog, play for the pack. And seeing who's prepared to work like the dog, work, you know, when they're hurting. Yeah, there's no substitute for time together, time on the ball, and playing some proper sevens together.
Who are you most worried about in Belgrade? Not on the pitch, but off the pitch.
Well, which of the lads?
Yeah.
Probably our manager, to be honest. I assume you've all met Tobias.
No, I don't think so.
So Tobias Nygaard is a Stavanger boy, and sadly, very badly injured. He's done his ACL, I think, three times now over the course of the last 4 years. So hoping he'll be able to come back, but you know, it's risk him to decide. But yes, he's an incredible manager, and I mean that genuinely. He's an incredible manager, but B, I have seen him dancing naked more times than I'd like to admit for a member of my coaching staff.
Sounds good. Right.
That I was going to say, maybe like, yeah, just I think we'll probably try and wrap things up a little bit. But I had some kind of quick fire-ish questions for you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, of course.
Cool. So yeah, just kind of think of, you know, whatever comes to your mind first. I mean, some of them might lead into a bit of a story, but yeah. I suppose for you, what was your proudest rugby moment, you personally, or coaching?
Proudest playing moment was getting on the pitch at Varsity at Twickenham. That was just a class experience. I don't think I will ever forget it. Proudest coaching moment absolutely is Belgrade, the first year I was out there. It was, we talk about it being an honour. It is a genuine honour. And seeing the lads and seeing the way they work, being out there with them was, special, really special.
Did you win?
We won some.
No, I meant Varsity, sorry.
Oh, yeah, we won Varsity. Yeah.
He says that like it's, you know, like it's a given. Like, oh, yeah, we won, obviously.
I was playing, mate. What do you expect?
How long ago was that? Did you play with Jamie Roberts?
No, so Jamie Roberts was after me, and he was Cambridge, but that was 2010. Yeah, but, you know, still Varsity match, just the wrong colour blue. Yeah, 2010 to 2013, I was there. So a long time ago. I'm old. Thanks, mate.
Best player you've played with?
Best player I've played with? Probably Will Rowlands, current Wales second row. So he was at university at the same time as I was. The guy was an animal then, and he's only got better. He's class.
That's a pretty good one. He is class, yeah. Best player you played against?
George North, actually. So it was George North when he was, I think he was about 16 and I was about 19. And I was on the wing at the time, and he absolutely mugged me off like three times. And I just remember getting subbed at halftime and thinking, yeah, fair enough. I'm shit in comparison to this guy. Probably just shit.
Well, I'm happy to maybe like a year after that, I guess.
Yeah. I'm having a bit of a hard time here because he says he's from Leeds, but his name's Owen Jones, and we've asked him about his two rugby players that he's both Welsh yet, and they're both Welsh.
So my, as you'd imagine, with a name like Owen Lewis Jones, my heritage is very much South Wales. So, I refer to myself as a proud Welshman, very much not a proud Englishman, despite the fact I grew up in the North.
Right. So, okay. Who do you support in the Six Nations?
Anyone but England, usually. I can see the scowls from you two. Wales first, and then yeah, any of the home nations apart from England, and England would be sort of the bottom of my home nations.
Fair. Well,
fair enough.
It's good to see you going well this year, isn't it? Zero for four. Yeah.
Can't wait to get the wooden spoon. Hey, at least we win something, you know? Yeah. Must have come home with a trophy.
All right, just a couple more from me. If you could sum up Norwegian Sevens in one word, what would it be?
One word. Grafters. Like, a bunch of just grafters.
Hang on. Tommy's going to hate that.
Yeah, he's going to...
Tommy's going to absolutely hate that.
I was hoping he'd be on, because I was hoping to argue with him, to be honest.
He's hibernating up in the north of Norway.
He's in full hibernation mode. No, that's awesome. So what dates are Belgrade again? Isn't it first week of June?
June the 8th. So we go over, that's the Saturday. So Saturday and Sunday is the actual tournament. We go over Wednesday to Monday. So I have a couple of days of acclimatization to 40 degree plus heat and mad humidity. And then hopefully go and tear up on the Saturday.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, it'll be absolutely awesome to kind of get you back after that tournament, back on here. Give us a bit of a rundown as to how it went on and off the pitch. Hopefully no one gets lost in that bunker, whatever it is. But Owen, it's been genuinely class to have you on. Really appreciate the time. I know you've been a busy man collecting chainsaws or whatever it is you were doing tonight. So yeah, really appreciate it.
The training camp's going to be fun, isn't it?
I'll make sure I send you a photo of me wielding the chainsaw and the leather face mask afterwards, mate.
I guess very quickly, are you on the, when you're coaching, are you sometimes a bit of a disciplinarian? Are you quite strict with the boys? If they fuck up, are you like, all right, go do some laps? Or
I am pretty firmly against that as a coaching technique. Yeah, for me, either I select on, we won't go into all this because I'll take another hour, but I select on three things, right? Character, talent, and love. And they sound a bit soft, right? They're shamelessly stolen from the Crusaders. And talent speaks for itself. You know, it's fairly easy to explain what that one is. But character, if I've got to scream and shout at you and make you do laps to make you care about what you're doing, your character probably isn't that of someone that I want in my final scene, you know?
That's been class, Owen. Thank you so much. So really good to have you on. Best of luck with all the camps. I hope they go well in Brighton and everywhere else. And hopefully if you're in Oslo, hopefully we'll see you here sooner rather than later.
Are you going to be up for the Stavanger Sevens in April?
TBC. It depends if we can get budget out of a pot that isn't my Sevens budget, which is a very limited pot, let's put it like that.
Right, fair enough.
Cool.
Very class, mate.
Lads, you legends. I really appreciate it. And long time listener, so keep doing what you're doing.
Cheers, Owen. Thanks a lot.
Cheers, mate. See ya.
Cheers, boys.
See ya.